Hey there, story fiends, and welcome back to the podcast that truly believes there are stories everywhere. Welcome to There's Stories Everywhere with Aledria Hurt. I am your hostess, Aledria Hurt, and this week we're doing another short from January called The Dragon Fighter's Daughter. So without further ado, The Dragon Fighter's Daughter. The Dragon Fighter's Daughter by Aledria Hurt. I knew when I saw her she was the one, Gannick said. Marley had heard this particular story before. It began the same way, every time. Usually when he'd been drinking a little bit and felt nostalgic for what he considered the good old days. He wouldn't cry when he told this story, though. So at least she was spared that particular sensationalism. But he would call loudly for his beer at some point during the story, which would of course mean she needed to get up and see about refilling his cup. Her father had a tendency toward getting maudlin when it came time for him to tell stories, or when he was drinking, or really just because he was around people. He had chosen, as his profession, dragon fighting, as his way to make money, and his body bore the scars of many an attack. Gannick the Great Giant, he had been called, and he filled the bill for such a name. Standing at a half dozen feet tall, he towered over nearly everyone in their small village. Marley, of course, included, though she had gotten some touch of her father's height. She stood to his shoulder, and that made her the tallest woman around. The dragon fight for her would probably be a bit beyond her ken, but there was, of course, smaller creatures one could fight at the fairs where such things were common. Gannick had, finally, after many fights, fallen for a woman and gotten married. She, Marley's mother, had lived in the small village where they both now resided, but Marley's mother had already passed away. It was a painful memory of Marley's younger years, the death of her mother. The woman had fought until the bitter end, finally succumbing to the sickness which had plagued the countryside. The burly arms of Gannick had been unable to fight it off, though had it a face and arms, he would have tried. He would have sought to beat it into submission so that it would release his beloved, but that was not to be. With his enormous hands, he had dug her grave himself when no one else would come forth to help because of the sickness. Even the temple keeper had been reluctant to come and bless the body. Yet Gannick and Marley had sat vigil, waiting to be certain of her death prior to closing the grave. Yet it had been what it was. Marley's mother, and Gannick's love, was indeed dead, her body smaller than she should have been, by some degrees, due to the illness and then the unceremonious loss of her life. Marley got up from her place at the tavern table and went to get her father a refill on his tankard. The tavern was at the edge of their town, and it was where Gannick chose to spend most of his nights. He had been considered a hero for his dragon fighting in the years prior, and there were still those who came to buy him a drink and hear the old stories. Gannick continued, I came to Driuka with the caravan, knowing full well that the children would gather round to marvel at my height and to see my skills in the ring with the great beasts. Yet I did not know then how my life would change in those days. Marley returned to the table with a full tankard for him and set it before him as she slid the other out of the way. The cold glass, kept that way by a contraption the tavern keeper had bought off some small-scale peddler years previous, smoked in the warmed air. All around the table, there were those who were waiting with bated breath for the rest of the story. Marley knew it well. Knew it better than any, truthfully. because before he had taken to coming to the tavern to tell it, he had told it to her many a night when she was younger, and cried as a child did for the mother who was no longer there. Gannick knew he was not one who could raise a child alone, but he tried his best, and Marley's raising had been one of strangeness as a result. At first, he had thought to return to the caravan of his youth. It came through town at odd intervals, depending on the movement of the high and heavy winds, which whistled through the area in the summer. If the winds died down enough to allow the caravan to move from its base, then they did. However, if it did not, by will of the gods, they did not. Gannick sought to return, only to find himself no longer able to do as he had once done. The dragons were no more fierce than they had been, but Gannick himself was out of practice, and older. His first fight had ended in a sad trouncing by the red-scaled creature he was slated to defeat. It was simply no longer feasible for him. He was defeated, not solely by the creature, but also by time. It was said there was a day when a fighter would realize they needed to hang up their sword. He hung up his leather gloves in the small home his fortunes had afforded them. Those gloves hung above the mantle of their fireplace, and he sometimes waxed poetic about wearing them against opponents three times his size. Marley knew better than to bring them up in that moment, though. Better to allow him to tell his story. Let him finish. She would aid him back to their home should he end up too deeply in his cups, but for the moment he was still aware and not slurring. He rarely told the story of her mother when he had gotten to the slurring point. He wanted to be able to say her name without messing it up. Such was his love for the beauty which had captured him. The men of the Drew were farmers and fishers of the nearby river, a dragon fighter among them, even an aged and retired one, was still a novelty despite the years, so they gathered to hear. "Lilianka," he said. The men were familiar with her, of course, and some had even tried to pay court to her when she was younger. Perhaps it had been easy to tell, even then she was more than they were prepared for. In truth, she had been beyond Gannick, but where others would have given up, he chose to continue in spite. "My love," he continued, "I saw her beyond the cage of my fight as the beast lay beneath my boot, and I knew then she was to be mine. I could not think of anything else. Of course, the caravan could not stay for me to pay court to her. I chose to leave the work of my youth and the grand money I made in order to pay court to her. Lilianka, Marley's mother, had been a tall woman as well, standing to her husband's neck and aware of herself in a way most women choose not to be. She had been willing to fight when the time came, and that fight had stood her in good stead over the years between her and the dragon fighter. Marley herself knew how to defeat a dragon, but she would not step foot in the ring unnecessarily. I built her a home, and she gave me a beautiful daughter." He gestured to Marley, who did not blush. She was old enough now where that was no longer the compliment it had once been. Beauty was something a woman could achieve with a bottle, in her opinion. Strength, however, came from within, and she would rather her father think of her as strong. Yet he praised her beauty, a part of her she had certainly gotten from her mother along with her height. "It is strange to think of it now," he admitted. Marley perked up. This was unexpected. "I lost her so long ago, it seems. Yet it feels as though it were yesterday I first looked into her eyes, through the wire of the cage of battle, and she fought until the last moment. Until death stole her breath and closed her eyes, she fought like a wildcat for every moment. Marley knew her mother had been weakening over the time of her illness, which was to be expected, but she did remember, clearly, the woman standing when it seemed she shouldn't be, fighting through the sickness and the pain in order to stand before the hearth and make food for her family. Marley saw a flash of that as she watched her father start to down his tankard. The frost settled on his lips and in his beard, which had gone iron gray with time. It stood bristly away from his brown skin, which meant he had made no attempt to tame it. Gannett stopped and looked directly at Marley. "You remind me of her so much." "I know," she replied. "I know." "May you always have the will to fight," he continued. Then he put the tankard down on the table empty and got up. Marley moved to him immediately, offering her arm to guide him away from the table and toward the door. Gannick leaned on her slightly, but seemed to still be well aware of his own 2 feet. Another unusual thing. By the end of the story, he should have been stumbling and willing to go home to sleep. Yet they stopped outside the tavern, Gannick pulling his daughter up short. "I loved your mother, and I love you, Marliana." Marley waited for whatever was coming next. This was a departure from things in her mind, so she wasn't sure what to do. Were they going home so that he could sleep, and she could spend part of the night reading while she waited for the next load of washing the next day? She supported them both now, taking in washing from around the village and preparing meals for those who had become too old to prepare their own. Her father had given his fortune to build their home and made little money as people gave it to him for his stories at night. It was not a surprise to her that he had a bit of jingle in his pocket at the end of the night, but she asked for none of it. It helped to keep the tavern keeper from denying Gannick drink if he could occasionally pay for his own. "Father," she said, as he stared upward at the stars. There were tears coursing down his cheeks now, and she knew there was something weighing on him. What exactly, she had no idea, but there was something forcing those tears from his eyes. "Marley," he began, then stopped. "Marley, I want you to marry well," he said. "I want you to find someone who will care for you the way I cared for your mother, and that means you've got to stop looking after me." Marley chuckled. It sounded like a grand joke, but he did not join her. She considered his words. There were few in the village she was remotely interested in, and truthfully, her favorite stories of her father's were the ones of the exotic locales the caravan went to. She wanted to see the world, but she had her father to care for. "Marliana," he said sternly, and her laughter died. "I want you to go and see the world outside of this place, the world I wanted to show your mother. The world beyond this sparse little village. I want you to join the caravan when it comes again." At first, Marley could hardly believe what she heard. He wanted her gone. He loved her, but he wanted her gone. The dissonance of it disturbed her. "What about you?" "I am an old man who lives off his glory days," he said with surprising insight. "My days are done. Yours are just beginning. I want you to go to the world and make of it what you will. I want you to have your glory days to speak of when you are an iron-haired mother, perhaps even a grandmother." He seemed to refuse to look at her, which brought up feelings of alarm in Marley. Was he avoiding looking at her because she had offended him in some way? No. Love forced his eyes away. The same love which had burned bright for her mother burned bright for her, and there was nothing further from the truth than that he did not care for her any longer. He cared for her so deeply that the thought of her trapped forever in the small village of her birth must have rankled him. Especially since she was responsible for caring for them both now. Marley slipped back under her father's arm and began walking in the direction of the home they shared. Perhaps her father wasn't completely living in the past. Perhaps, just perhaps, there was a future for her, after all. There you have it, Story Fiends, the Dragon Fighter's Daughter. I hope you enjoyed. You can always reach me here at the podcast. Let me know how things are going. Or you can drop me a line at my email. That's aledria@aledriahurt.com to let me know what you thought of the episode. Maybe posit what Marliana's going to do next. We should see. Anyway, as always, kiss the ones you love, rock the life you want, and have a good day.